Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a really neat show lined up for you, and it's very timely, very relevant, you know, to the markets and what they've been doing of late. We have been developing a nice relationship with columnists and folks over at the Wall Street Journal and Market Watch and their CFO Journal, and so we've been very fortunate to bring on some experts in the field of investing and a lot of other subjects. So we've got another one for you, which you're really going to like it. Michael Sincere brings a very unique perspective. Let me give you a little bit about Michael. He's a columnist for MarketWatch. He's also an author of many books. His latest book is Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and Win. I love that. And more information about Michael. Michael Sincere, just like it sounds. How lucky did he get with a name like that? MichaelSincere.com. And Michael wrote an article recently, 8 Ways to Save Your Portfolio from This Toppy Market. And so I wanted to get Michael on and have him give us a little perspective from where he sits and what he sees. So, Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, David.
I'm glad to have you on. And Michael, he's written a lot of books, nonfiction. I imagine, though, sometimes it seems like fiction when it comes to the market. But he's been interviewed on radio programs all over the world, all over the country, and has been on CNBC, ABC, World News. So, Michael, let's get right to it. You know, the market is what it is, and it is where it is. Let's just really kind of dive in here and talk about if for people who are on the sidelines with cash right now, they've been waiting for the right opportunity. Is this it? Is now the time? Or do they try to buy on a dip? Do they try to wait for a pullback? You know, you could, as many people have experienced, people can miss a lot of market gains by waiting for the perfect opportunity. What do you say about those thoughts?
Well, first of all, there is no perfect opportunity. It's difficult to time the market, as most people know. If you're in cash right now, which not everyone is, my feeling right now is it's a very dangerous market. I mean, the signs and indicators point to a dangerous market. And so if you have cash, my feeling is to wait. I mean, this is a time to wait. You never know exactly when to get in. But one method I use is I test the market. You can either use options, if people know that, or just buy a few shares of something, like 100 shares. If you get a profit, then maybe that's the time, you know, to add more to that. You would always add more to a winning position rather than a losing position.
So you don't like your question. Like the idea of people who take the strategy of doubling down when they're, you know, they buy a stock at $100 and it goes to $50. They say, well, if I buy more, I can, you know, basically lower my my average. If I buy at $50 and I bought some at $100, I can bring my average cost to $75. So isn't that better than, you know, sitting there with a loss at $100?
Well, it looks good on paper, but I think what you're doing is you're buying on the way down. Now, some people do agree with averaging down. I personally don't. I think that if a stock is going down, you don't always know the reason it's going down, but it's going down. And so that means something, you know, is inherently wrong with it, either fundamentally or technically. And what I'd rather do is wait for it to stop going down and then bottom out and start going up, or at least add to winning positions. I mean, you know, I strongly believe in stop losses. So instead of adding to a stock that's going down, I would cut the loss at, let's say, 7 to 10%.
Well, you know, there's another saying, Michael, and some of these questions are very relevant for a lot of our listeners. Another thing that, you know, has been said often is that investors are really good at buying stuff, but they have a really hard time selling.
Right. That's absolutely true. I mean, especially in a dangerous market and people have profits, you know, it's kind of a greed factor comes in. I mean, how much, if you have tremendous profits, there is a time where you really have to take money off the table. Now, one of the tricks to deal with the twin emotions of fear and greed is to scale out of your position. In other words, don't sell everything at once. Let's say you have 1,000 shares, take out 100 or 200. And again, you know, you have to decide at what point that would, when you start selling. But I would scale out. That's like a good strategy to use.
because it's hard sometimes, you know, somebody looks at their portfolio, and I've seen this, of course, many times over the years, Michael, that in reviewing people's portfolios and advising them that they'll hold it, they'll ride it all the way down, or they'll buy more shares as they go, and I could tell story after story. And then when they've got a profit, you know, it's really interesting to me, the psychology. And I know you have both, you know, have done both investing and trading. The thing that's really interesting is that people will give pause and saying, okay, so I've got a gain of 20% on the stock or mutual fund or whatever it is. And if I sell it now, be it short-term or long-term gain, you know, I'm going to have to pay tax on that. They would almost rather hold on to it. And if the market falls, then maybe they sell it and say, okay, I've got, you know, it's like this tax thing, just they can't get, it's like blinders on a horse. They can't see to make the right decision.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just had a discussion with someone about taxes. They had bought Coca-Cola in the very early days, and they have a huge gain. And so even if there's a bear market, even if the market goes through a correction, they're not going to sell it. So, you know, and I really understand that. I really do. So there are strategies. One is you can buy a put option. It's like a protective put.
Yeah.
And it's not for everyone, but you buy a put option on that position. Like if you had Coca-Cola and you had, say, 1,000 shares, you could buy 10 contracts. So it's more inexpensive than buying the stock itself. But if the stock went down, it would protect you. That's one option. You know, otherwise, you have to really talk to a financial advisor on what to do, because it's really not everybody has the same, decision to make. I mean, and I understand you just don't want to sell everything and have a huge tax loss. But at the same time, you don't want to take a huge hit if the market goes down.
Well, and now we're also not just talking about the individual, the overall market risk. We're talking about the individual stock risk of the, and there are thousands and thousands of ex-Enron employees who would say that it's a good idea to be diversified.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, Enron is still in our memory along with 2008. And sometimes I am amazed that people forget those stories and forget 2008. So I'm a very strong believer in protection, if that means options. If it means scaling out, hedging,
yeah,
a little bit, diversification, which I know you talk about a lot.
Sure.
Very important. Yeah.
Well, you've got you've got the diversification, you've got the scaling out, which I like the way you phrase that. And, you know, there are a lot of different ways to hedge. People sometimes hear the word hedge, Michael, and they think, oh, that's for super wealthy people. That's for big hedge funds. And, gosh, I don't even know what those are. But there's a lot, you know, the word hedge can be used a lot of different ways. And there's a lot of ways to hedge that people don't even think about. You know, if you buy you're buying more than one stock, you're really hedging your bets. So in a real general sense, there's lots of ways. That cash money in your money market account sitting at the bank earning nothing is a hedge. I mean, all of these things, you just want to be very careful and resist that temptation of going all in or riding it, you know, again, not being willing to make the sale or, you know, get out of something when you really should.
Right, right. I mean, you really all this comes back to our emotions, and that really is probably the reason that most people get hurt, is they either get really greedy or they hear about, you know, a great stock, and usually they buy it at the very high, or they get scared. I mean, we're in a dangerous market. If the market starts going down, everyone says, oh, it may go down 10%. 10% is thousands of points on the Dow. I mean, people don't realize that. I remember somebody said they really don't mind taking risks. They just don't want to lose money.
That's one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time, Michael. You know what really strikes me, and I'm sure you observe this being a, well, no pun intended, market watcher. You know, the thing that strikes me is the headline. I get a fair amount of amusement out of the headlines, and you see them, and I see them in the paper, I see them, you know, on the internet, and the thing that's funny is, or interesting, and again, it's a business of selling ad space, is that whenever the market slides, or and I'm using that word generously, if the market, say the market is off 1%, the Dow, say it's off 16, it's off 160 points on 16,000. Well, you know what? It's 1%. That to me is the normal heartbeat of the market, up, down, up, down. But when they write it in the paper or wherever, you know, market slides, market, you know, stages a big pullback. And I'm like, it's 1%. It's, you know, so, I mean, come on. It's, you know, it's not like it went down, as you said, you know, thousands of points. And it, it so could at any time with, you know, just enough of an intersection of bad news that gets people to panic a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I think people have forgotten 2008. I mean, I was sitting there and I watched, you know, the market go down 700 points, 800 points in a day. And that's when the emotion kicked in. People were screaming to get out at any point, but they waited till the market had already dropped thousands and thousands of points. And so right now, when everything seems kind of calm, this is the time to prepare, you know, to think about the steps you'll, you know, take to prepare or, you know, protect your portfolio rather than when things are really getting scary.
Michael,
but,
that's excellent.
Right. Media does that.
Yeah, you're right on the money. That's exactly right. Now is the time to reevaluate, and maybe you've got some positions that have grown much stronger than others, and you need to rebalance, reevaluate, and maybe you hedge your bets. Maybe you do pull some money off the table. And also over on the bond market, on the fixed income side, Michael, you know, we've had a rally of late here because of money moving out of the stocks per se, and maybe into perceived safety of some of the bonds. And if you were going to reevaluate and maybe go out of bonds into something else or from longer to shorter term bonds, now would also be a time to think about that.
Oh, yeah, that's part of the diversification. And, you know, speaking of bonds, it's really fascinating. Everyone thought bonds were going to get crushed. And, I mean, it seemed like every economist said bonds are going to go down. And as usual, the market, the bond market, pulled them. And so, you know, so no one really can predict what is going to happen with bonds or stocks. But the diversification really does reduce the pain. So I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Those with knowledge don't predict. Those that predict, well, maybe they have knowledge, maybe they don't. Interesting stuff, Michael.
It's ironic because I wrote a book called Predict the Next Four Bear Market, which is kind of ironic. But in the first chapter of the book, the first page, actually, I say no one can consistently predict the market.
Right.
And that's true.
You're,
you know, but there are clues you can look for, indicators and clues to tell you what the market might do next.
Yeah, you're just looking for, you're trying to get a read, and I think that's a good way to put it. Michael Sincere is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. The book, Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and Win, michaelsincere.com. Quick break, we'll be right back.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, Michael Sincere is on the line with me. He is a columnist over at MarketWatch. And the website, michaelsincere.com, just like it sounds. And we're talking about Michael's recent article and also his book. The book is Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and Win. And the article we're talking about, which appeared on MarketWatch, 8 Ways to Save Your Portfolio from This Toppy Market. So you're describing it, and I think it's an interesting way to look at it, Michael, as a little bit of a dangerous market. Is that because just the sheer run-up that we've seen or because of some of the mixed signals that you're seeing coming out of the market and also the economy?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of mixed signals. I mean, first of all, as I just mentioned, the bond market is acting a little differently than people thought. So that's a signal right by itself. It's not performing like people. I mean, it's really rallying, which sometimes may, you know, cause problems for the stock market. Other indicators include the margin. Like margin rates of people borrowing money to buy stocks is at the highest rate, even higher than 2008 and 2000. That's a flashing red warning signal right there. Now, as you know, NASDAQ and Russell 2000 have had trouble. So the strong leading stocks that like Amazon and some of the others have really pulled back a lot. The question is, will that happen to the Dow, which remains to be seen. But when you put, when you look at some of these indicators, and also the excessive bullishness from a lot of financial writers, you put it all together, and you say, you know, this is kind of a warning sign. I mean, it's not a specific prediction, you know, that there'll be a bear market or that there'll be a correction, but it does raise red flags.
I think that's a fair analysis, Michael. And then just for clarity for our listeners, you know, because there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. And I was kind of poking at this a little bit with the headlines before the break that, you know, a 1% off day, even though it's 160 points on the Dow, is at least from my perspective, you know, nothing to get excited about. But we start talking about a pullback that's generally considered 5%, and then a correction 10% off, and then bear market off 20.
Right, right. As far as the numbers, you know, it's always usually 20% is the number that they use, and
yeah,
you know, but in the heat of battle, it almost doesn't matter. So,
that's true. That's true.
You know, but with bear markets, the one thing about bear markets is it goes for a much longer time period, and where a correction is much quicker and faster. And you're right, it's not 1%. It's going to be 5% to 10%. I mean, you know, on that day, you just know you're losing money if you're long. And that's when you have to put your emotions in check and say, look, I'm going to be calm, which is why now is a good time to evaluate your portfolio, look at what you have, see if you have too much money in, let's say, a momentum stock.
Yeah.
Look at the losers in your portfolio. I mean, if you have a loser, hoping that it will come back to even one day is not a really good strategy.
Well, now would be a good time to sell it because you could offset something else that maybe is a strong position, or maybe it's grown a lot. That's the thing I see a lot. You know, when I review people's portfolios, Michael, you might find it interesting, you know, from my financial planner perspective that, you know, I'll see people there holding on to them. Like, why do you have that one? Well, you know, we bought it this and we're really hoping it's going to come back. And then I'm like, well, what about these other ones? And well, we've got some gains and we're a little bit concerned to sell them. And I'm like, well, let's put the chocolate and peanut butter together. Okay. Come on, let's go ahead and put those things together. And I've seen people's portfolios just be all out of whack because of that, both on the, you know, their sector allocation as well as, you know, maybe where it is around the world, or even, you know, the concentration of large caps versus small and mid caps.
Yes, yes. And, well, one of the first rules per your story is that you don't fall in love with your stock. I mean, I remember in 2000 where Qualcomm was going up by thousands of percentages, and people were so excited. One guy put a license plate with the word Qualcomm on it. And, of course, he lost probably most of his money when it reversed. But the point is you don't fall in love with your stock. They're stock. And even though you may, you know, really like that product, when the time comes to sell, you have to sell without any emotion.
Well, you know what? That's an outstanding analogy that he put the license plate on his car. Stocks are not, I mean, you know, I get it when somebody's passed them down generation, but they should not be personified or cherished, and they should be looked at, ironically, as a vehicle to get where you're trying to go by having the growth and the gains and diversification and all, and maybe dividends or whatever the case may be.
That's right. But now I'll take the other side. I was just talking as a trader. Now, if you're a long-term buy and hold investor and using Coca-Cola, someone who bought it back, you know, decades ago, then I do understand, you know, holding it and buying it and holding it and looking at a much longer time frame. You know, but again, I still wouldn't fall in love with it. If that didn't work out, you wouldn't want to sell it. But if it's giving you profits over many, many years, then that is something, you know, you'd want to buy and hold. So I can see it from both perspectives. I mean, a trader meaning less than a year or even less than that, you know, you would just say, I'm done with a stock that's not performing. But a buy and hold investor would, you know, if they, like a Warren Buffett looking at it from a long-term perspective, I could see holding it and really ignoring the day-to-day fluctuations.
I would definitely fall in that category, Michael. I would look at it more long-term, and I would also not be as much concerned about the day-to-day. But with that said, I'm still very concerned about overexposure and, you know, just having too much money with any one company. I don't really want to have more than a couple percent with any one stock because I call it the have to read the paper test. If you have to read the paper to know that the company has fallen on hard times, that's the thing I want to have to do. I don't want to be able to tell from my portfolio's value that something's happened to one of my companies individually. Now, the overall market declining, fine. But even with that long-term strategy, people really need to be careful. And I've seen, oh gosh, the stories I could tell of people that have, you know, they've gotten too much into one stock, and they, even if it's a long-term buy and hold, they end up really, you know, especially when companies cut their dividends. We saw that also back in the 2008 going forward. So it's just caution's a key.
Yeah. Well, one the reasons I wrote so many books, including one of my first books, is I had made every mistake you could possibly make in the market. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I learned the hard way. And then I learned how to protect my portfolio. And one of the key rules that I did learn, and I was both an investor and trader, and I actually do both. I have a long-term portfolio, and I also have a short-term portfolio. But one of the key lessons is cutting your losses. Mm. And again, you know, we mentioned earlier, but if between 7 to 10%, if that thing is down at that level, I put it on a red alert, and very quickly I'll sell it. Because as you mentioned earlier, there are always other things to buy. There's always other stocks. There are always other choices.
Good point. Michael Sincere is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. MichaelSincere.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Michael Sincere on the line with us, columnist for MarketWatch, author of many books, including his latest, Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When. MichaelSincere.com is the website. Michael, I wanted to maybe just hit a couple more things with you. So we got a couple minutes. Overall, what are your thoughts about where things are? You know, we mentioned before with a lot of mixed signals. You know, one report I'll read that we've got an unemployment or the applications for unemployment benefits 7-year low, and then we'll read another report where we'll see maybe a lag in some sort of indicator, and also earnings. You know, the earnings numbers. You know, a lot of companies reported stronger than expected earnings, but they had managed them pretty hard on the downside to get, you know, the expectations fairly low so they could come in and quote unquote surprise like they always try to do. So what do you see with this?
Well, I tend to look more at the technical indicators. I mean, of course I study and watch the fundamental indicators, and I especially watch to see how, you know, the market reacts to it. But on the technical side, I mean, there's hundreds of indicators, but the one indicator that I follow the most, the simplest to follow, is moving averages, and people do hear that mentioned. And as you may know, when an index or a stock goes below the 50 or 100-day moving average, you know, that's a warning sign. That means there's some problems there. When it gets under the 200, even if you only follow fundamental analysis, you will probably sell. I mean, that's almost like a sell signal in itself. So if the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 are going below, which they have below the 50 and the 100, those are warning signs. So I'm watching the Dow to see what that does. So that's one of the indicators. The other thing I watch is I look at the volume. Like the market, when it goes up higher, but on low volume, and you can look at the volume, you know, each day, that's another danger signal. Yeah. And I've been seeing that. So even though it may make new highs, if it's on low volume, then it means that the leaders are actually falling off. And so, all, you know, I look at all the indicators, and overall, again, I see a real problems with the market.
Interesting, interesting. Good stuff, Michael. I'm glad to have you on, and we'll have to have you come back and talk again with us, maybe about a couple of other subjects. Michael Sincere, ladies and gentlemen, columnist for MarketWatch, author of many books, including Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When. MichaelSincere.com is the website. Michael, enjoyed having you.
Oh, thank you very much, Dave.
All right, we'll be in touch, and we'll do it again.
Oh, great. I'd love to come on.
All right, thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.